Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to equip pastors and church leaders with resources related to artificial intelligence, helpful for sermon prep, creative ministries, outreach, and more. We do this by providing exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach more people for Jesus Christ. Here are your hosts, Bart Blair and Dr. David Thorne.
Welcome to episode 12 of the AI for Churches podcast. My name is Bart Blair. I am the co-host with David Thorne. Welcome to another episode of the show. David, are you doing well today?
Yeah, I'm doing very well.
I'm glad you answered that affirmatively, because that would have really been ridiculous if I'd asked you if you were doing well and you said, no, I'm actually not doing well, but you are doing well. I knew the answer to the question because we had a chance to get caught up before we started recording today. Those of you who are just tuning in for maybe the first time to the AI for Churches podcast, we want to welcome you to the show. This is a relatively new podcast. We've been doing this for roughly, I don't know, about 7-8 months or so now. We produce 2 podcast episodes a month or every other week. And this is the 12th episode of the show. David and I took over the podcast just a few episodes ago, so it's still relatively new for us. We're really excited about the opportunity to be able to share the things that we're learning about AI. I'll say we, most specifically David. David is the AI research guy on the missional marketing team, and he's the man who's got lots of answers, and I'm going to ask him a lot of questions today, and he's going to give us a lot of answers. So, David, before we get into kind of a recap of 2023 and a look ahead to 2024, is there anything that you wanted to add or anything you wanted to share with the audience before we start digging into some of the details of artificial intelligence for churches?
Well, I'll say this. The year 2023, as we well know, was the person of the year was Taylor Swift. Okay. And the thing of the year, the probably the catchphrase of the year would probably be AI and artificial intelligence. Yeah. So that's I would say that this is a very, very important topic for churches and for just people.
Right. Yeah, I would just add one other thing there. If you're new to the show, we're really what our goal, our objective is that if you're a church leader or you serve in some capacity in a church, our goal in a lot of ways is to demystify artificial intelligence for you. We're firm believers that artificial intelligence can actually be a really good thing. It's something that can be beneficial to us in the church. We know that a lot of people are very leery about the way that AI is being postured as a tool, especially in the church. But we really believe that there are a lot of good things that can actually help the church accomplish its mission in reaching more people for Jesus. We do think that it takes, you know, some wisdom and some discernment in terms of what you use and how you use it. But we're fans and we're learning how to use it. And even in our own ministries and our own work, we're learning how to leverage the tools that are available to us. And they're just more and more coming out on a regular basis. And I think 2023 was kind of a banner year of us really seeing just the very, very, very tip of the iceberg as far as artificial intelligence and what it can be and what it can mean for us. Why don't you start, David, by just kind of giving us a look over the last, really maybe the last 2 years, 2022, 2023. What has the AI journey really looked like for the last couple of years?
Yeah. So, and I think this is really important for us to pause and think about how far we've come in the past 12 months. Okay. And so we have to go back a little bit further to that. And I want to start with like 2 major categories. Is there are image generators, like artificial image generators, where you put in a text and it creates an image. Then there are just word generators, where you put in a word or a question or ask it to do a thing, and the word generator generates something. Mm-hmm. And those are the 2 big buckets. In 2023, there was a 3rd category that's been added, which is more of this, image to video, or even what's called multimodal. Anyways, let me pause right there. Let me pause and just saying, going back and at in March of 2022 and then August of 2022, 2 image generators launched publicly, Midjourney and Stable Diffusion. So those were big guys that came out publicly. And then in November, right towards the end of the year, ChatGPT came out publicly.
That was 2022. Wow. It's hard to believe it's been well over a year since ChatGPT came out.
Within 5 days, over 1 million people logged in and tried to get in a part of ChatGPT. So it's just saying that was right at the end of 2022. Now, it was kind of like there's a little bit of a dot, dot, dot. Like during that time, those platforms kept developing and were dot, dot, dotting until March 14th. So basically a year later, since Midjourney came out, ChatGPT moved from ChatGPT 3 and 3.5 to ChatGPT 4. And ChatGPT 4 is a part of their paid service. It's cost $20 a month. And it includes both image and word artificial, generation. And it is absolutely the cream of the crop. It sets the tone for what these kind of any type of AI generation can do. That was in March. That really wasn't that long ago. No. It feels like it's been around for eons, but it hasn't. ChatGPT-4 came out on March 14th. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, at the time that we're recording this, it's roughly around nine months ago, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Then a few other ones. Also in March, Google's Bard came out. Then in July, Claude 2 came out. And then this past December, Google's Bard added in kind of like a heftier AI engine under the hood called Gemini. That's a lot of dates, but I think the big kind of exciting and kind of crazy thing to think is that all happened basically in the last 9 months. ChatGPT 4, Google's Bard, Claude 2. It hasn't been around all that long. So for those of you, church people who are out there, church leaders, and you feel like, man, I think I'm just totally missing the boat. You actually haven't. We're talking about things that are hardly even a year old. Mm-hmm. And so there's no boat to miss. The boat hasn't even left the port yet. Hop on the boat. There's plenty of time, plenty of space. You haven't missed that much. And if you're starting at ground zero right now, it's a great time to jump on the boat and get learning.
Yeah, I mean, it would be silly. It would be like a person saying, well, I didn't get the first generation of an iPhone, so I'm just never going to own a smartphone, right? Like, yeah. I'm just going to use a rotary dial for the rest of my life because I didn't get the first iPhone. The technology is advancing so quickly. And I want to ask you a question about that. Are there any things that you shared there, between the launch of Midjourney and Stable Diffusion and ChatGPT and Bard and all these other things? Are there any particular advancements in the AI technology that really just sort of stand out in your mind as being those monumental things that we go, oh, that was huge for AI in 2023?
Yeah. Well, I would say you can't ignore ChatGPT 4. And added to that is, I didn't look up this date, but they added the customizable GPTs within ChatGPT 4,
right,
where a person can ask ChatGPT to help them solve a specific problem to their use case, and you can give it information and kind of customize it to what you want it to do. I think it's basically still experimental at this point.
We talked about that a bit in episode 11. Yeah, we kind of got into that in our last episode.
But those are the two things. ChatGPT 4 is probably the biggest thing. And I do feel like every few months, all of the image generators almost double their abilities. Like they get even better. And all of them do. Like we're talking like every 6 months. When we record this a year in review a year from now, we'll probably look back on some of the ones like, these other AI systems, platforms, and say, wow, that wasn't that great, but it's great now, but it probably won't be super great in a year from now.
Yeah. Like I said, again, you know, if you are the owner of a new, what's, I don't even know what the latest iPhone is because I'm a Google Pixel user.
I think it's 15.
If you have an iPhone 15 today and I handed you like an iPhone 4, it would probably feel like archaic technology, right? And really, that's only been, you know, a handful of years. Now, you talked a little bit about kind of what you're expecting to happen in 2024, this current and upcoming year. Do you have any predictions? Like, do you have a crystal ball? Do you know of things that are happening? What can you share with us, David, that'll get us excited about what we might see in AI this next year?
Yes, I'll put on my little looking at the future cap and bring out my crystal ball. And you can call me Nostra David.
Of the
future of AI here for the next year. Of course, there's the caveat of no one knows, but
if anyone knows, that, Nostra David might know.
Nostra David has a few predictions if you're doing like your the fantasy football of AI, then you listen up.
Okay.
So here's a few things is, we will continue to see AI, imperfectly added into almost everything we use. And I'll give you an example I just saw this today. In my Google Docs, there's this little like star thing where I'm like writing something and at any point I can click that and it says, what do you want me to do? And I can ask it to do something and it will do it. Now, is it going to do that thing well? I'm going to guess it's going to get whatever I want it to do right about 20% to 25% of the time. But that's the kind of stuff that we're going to see. And you're going to see across all the products you use, your Microsoft products. Zapier already has this. Canva already has this. You're going to see that starting to be built in even more of the coming year. So that's one thing.
Let me bounce on that just a little bit. Because if you're listening to this podcast, there's a really good chance that you're a church leader and you actually use church tools to manage your church. So you might be using things such as Planning Center or CCB or Subsplash or something of that nature. You'd be unwise to think that all of those companies are not trying to figure out the best and most effective ways to implement AI strategies into their platforms to make managing your church and leading your church better and easier for you. So, you know, you've named things like Google Docs and Canva and Zapier and those, you know, I don't know how many churches are actually using Zapier. Like that's a world you live in, but everybody uses Google Docs and a lot of people are using Canva. Yes. But I mean, if Planning Center doesn't have an R&D team working on AI, I will be absolutely shocked. I'm sure that you're going to start to see stuff with Planning Center. I mean, you know, I was an early adopter to Planning Center. Its first, you know, first product was planning weekend worship services. Why wouldn't Planning Center be able to build an AI tool? I'm maybe giving them an idea if there's somebody from Planning Center listening to this, where I say, okay, the sermon is going to be this, and I want to create a worship set list that uses, you know, this theme or these scriptures, and it pulls songs from your database that you already have in your Planning Center weekend worship service database, and it organizes a worship set list for you based on that scripture using AI. Like, those are the types of things that we're going to see.
I'll tell you that this is exactly how AI would work perfectly within Planning Center. Again, Planning Center, if you're listening, hopefully this isn't a trade secret. I bet you're probably already thinking about doing this, but AI could easily take the history of your, you know, Sunday services and extrapolate out the next 6 months of potential services, volunteering, songs. Like if you enter in, it could probably suggest, you know, titles or themes based off the previous 3 years of Planning Center services. There's all kinds of stuff. You could ask a summary of, you know, give me a summary of what songs we played in the last 6 months and what songs are played the most. There's all kinds of analytics you could probably do based off your previous history of knowledge. And then, of course, with stuff like any kind of church management system like CCB, oh man, like the kind of analytics and data that you could use AI to help you with, is just extraordinary. It's going to be
predictive giving. Like that's one thing that every church is always trying to figure out, you know, setting budgets and determining, you know, what you believe that your tithes and offerings and giving is going to be from year to year. And AI in those platforms is, I mean, 100% it's going to be integrated in there. So goes back to our previous episode. We said churches, many people, according to a Barna study, Barna and Glue, whoever did that study, yeah, said that most people in churches are uncomfortable with their churches using AI. Guess what? There ain't going to be any way around it, because all of the tools that we use to manage churches are going to have some kind of AI component in them. Okay, I sidetracked us a little bit there.
Well, and one other note, just say that is, you know, we talk about how, you know, yeah, of pastors saying like, yeah, to your same point of, oh, I don't know if I should, I need to tell the congregation I'm using it, or I don't know if I should, ethically, should I be using it? The things we just mentioned are purely just analytical, task-oriented, helping give you more information to help you as a pastor do your job better. It'd be trying to like tell your church that you used it. That'd be like, you know, like it's like telling them like you said, like I just bought a new iPhone. Hey church, I want to let you guys know I just bought a new iPhone. It has new technology in it. Everyone would be like, we don't care. That's good for you. But yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, Nostra David.
Yes.
What else? So imperfectly implementation of AI tools into regular products and services that we're using on a regular basis. What other things do you envision that we might see with the AI world in 2024?
Right now, AI image generators are terrible at writing words. If anyone out there has ever tried to use an AI image generator and asked it to write words, it is bad at it.
Yeah.
You might have to ask it like 7 different times to do the same thing before you get one usable image of words. It's better right now just to write your words in a different program. In this coming year, I think this will be the year that AI image generators will start getting words right about 80% of the time. So that's another prediction.
Okay. Whereas right now it's maybe 20% of the time.
Yes. Right. I'd say we'll flip it's that. 20%. I think it's not crazy to think it can move up to 80%.
Okay. All right. What else? What else do you think that we might see in 2024?
Right now, if you put a text and you want to create a video of it, it is not great. So text to video.
Give us an example. Give us an example of what that means.
Well, think of like when churches have little buffer videos. Just a 3 to 5 second video of like a family smiling around a Christmas tree, or you know, a New Year's, like the ball dropping and people smiling, any kind of, you know, B-roll buffer video. We've begun the ability to write a text like, I want happy people with a ball dropping at New Year's, and the image generators will create a short video. Right now, those videos are not great consistently or great at all. In this coming year, I believe they'll move from not great to more usable. So not saying they will become great, but they'll move from not great to usable.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. I think, you know, one of the things we've talked a lot about just AI as a buzzword altogether. And I think one of the things that we've talked about over previous episodes, and I think we talk about this offline as well, is that, you know, everything with an AI label gets labeled AI. But I think, I think that you're gonna go in this, and maybe our next point is that we're probably gonna get to a point where we don't even use the word AI or the term AI when we're describing the things that are actually happening in the real world. You want to dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot, Bart. Is that pretty soon we're just gonna be talking about tools and helpful tools, because they will all be AI. So instead of saying this is an AI tool, it's just saying this is just a tool. Mm-hmm. And on that note, to think about where we are big picture, we are definitely still on the ramping up phase, where if you thought there were a lot of platforms out there doing a lot of stuff, I think we will see double the amount of platforms coming out, which is an overwhelming thing and also a good thing. It's a good thing because we're going to see platforms be able to do more and offer more value. Where right now you could say, I do thing A and you pay me money to do it. And, you know, of course, you know, company B says, I do thing B. Well, I think this coming year with the competition out there, we're going to see companies need to offer more at a lower price, which is ultimately going to help us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's going to be kind of this standardization of artificial intelligence as just being another technology, right? We've sort of over the course of the last 20, 25 years, we just sort of accepted different aspects of technology, sort of like, you know, 3G, 4G, 5G. Now, do we really even talk about the G's? It's just like, we just want fast internet, you know? And I think the same thing is going to be true when it comes to AI embedded into technology. It's just going to be an aspect of what all technology is. And so it becomes much more normative. Let's kind of close things out here. And I want you to talk about, you mentioned just a minute ago, or as we got started, that, you know, the ship is still being built and it hasn't even left the port yet. I'm a pastor, I'm a church leader, I'm an executive pastor, I serve on staff in a church somewhere. And I'm like, you know, I just haven't gotten my feet wet with AI yet. What are some things that you think I should invest my time in, or maybe even some financial resources in, maybe first quarter or the first half of 2024, so that I can actually start learning how to use some AI tools or some technology that has AI incorporated into it? What advice or what coaching would you give to a pastor or church leader?
Yeah, I would say start free. And that's a good place to start. And there's two places I would suggest you start free. The first is ChatGPT 3.5. So that is a free platform that you can sign up to use. And the second is bing.com/create, which is a Microsoft image generator that you can use for free. Those are two free platforms. Sign up for those. And then this is what you do with them. I would say is a tool like anything that you would have, it's only as useful as your ability to remember to use it. So kind of like if this past Christmas, if you got that new kitchen tool, like that fancy blender that you were looking for, or an Instapot, which I own and have owned for years, but I don't use it because I'm kind of scared of it. Those kinds of things are only useful when you think about using it. So what I would say is, here's how you can use ChatGPT 3.5. Use it for brainstorming. A part of every church leader's job, there's a point where you're saying, it could be happening right now. As we're finishing up January, you may start thinking about, what are you doing the rest of this year? Well, bring out your ChatGPT 3.5 and use it as like you're throwing ideas off the wall about your ministry and about your plans and about what, you know, just ideas. Coming up with names for things, use it as a brainstormer. The second thing is you could use it to help you as just a framework for making plans. So if you're trying to come up, help me make a plan for ... give it information, and ChatGPT could be really helpful for those two kinds of tasks.
Yeah. I know a lot of churches using it for things like, I mean, just get into ChatGPT and say, give me 10 creative ideas for outreach in my community as a church this year. Or I know churches, you know, using it to, you know, write their announcements, write content for social media posts. You know, one of the things that we didn't talk about earlier, you know, we talked a lot about content creation, content generation. We know that even website development is going to start to have more AI incorporated into it, where you can actually design web pages and write content for web pages using AI. And there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, even if it's just a starting point or a brainstorm idea. So I think that's pretty creative. You just posted a thing over the holidays. You posted a thing over the holidays where you cooked a recipe using a ChatGPT recipe for, yeah. Was it snickerdoodles? Some kind of cookies, yes. Or something.
Snickerdoodles. I was just using free ChatGPT. And sometimes like I like cooking and coming up with creative things. And I'll look into my pantry and I'll say, I have that and that. I wonder if I can make a recipe with that. So I put it in ChatGPT. I say, make me a dinner recipe using these ingredients. So over Christmas, I wanted a snickerdoodle, but I wanted it to have icing and I wanted it to have like a strudel type of a topping. So I said, hey, ChatGPT, make me a snickerdoodle recipe that has strudel and icing. And it did. And I made it and it was great.
Okay. All right. Very good. Of course, that has nothing to do with church, except for the fact that your church need, maybe you do some potluck recipes or something for your church. I don't know. All kinds of things that you can do. Any other content creation ideas that you want to share with pastors? And you said start free. Is there a point that we should consider paying for using AI tools? Because more and more of them, you know, my wife uses Claude all the time. And she came running into my office the other day and she's like, I'm going to have to get a paid Claude account because I'm running into limits on how much I can use it. And I'm like, okay, I guess we have to bite the bullet to do that. What's your kind of advice on when and where we should start spending money on some of these AI resources? Yeah.
It's one of those, in a year from now, I might have a different answer. But right this second, ChatGPT-4 is probably your best initial spend. One of the benefits of ChatGPT-4 is you have access to their image generator. You have access to, their best ChatGPT-4, and you have access to like the custom GPTs. Other people out there are making custom GPTs that do things, and you could have access to those. So it's kind of the best value to give you. It's to give you the Ferrari or BMW of this present moment is for $20 a month. And I would say as for when, I would say start using ChatGPT 3.5 and using bing.com/create. And at some point you're going to say, I'm using this a good amount. At some point it could be worth dropping the $20. I have access to ChatGPT-4, and sometimes it does create better images than bing.com/create and any of the other image generators out there. It does a better job. As for like when I ask it questions, I find that typically when I ask questions, the type of questions I'm asking and the type of questions a pastor is probably going to ask, I don't know that you're going to get 10 times a better answer from ChatGPT-4 versus ChatGPT 3.5.
For paying the $20, that might not be worth the $20. Yeah.
Now you mentioned like Claude 2. I don't want to go, we don't have time to go into all the, whatever all of them are good at, but Claude 2, the only reason you would spend the money for Claude 2 is if you're running out of, like you're asking it so much stuff that you're running out of space.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh man, it's like, I have to pay the $20 for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that you wanted to add before we land the plane on this episode?
I just say that it's the funny thing about this episode is I feel like we could redo this episode in 6 months and it would be a totally new discussion. I think it's just for pastors out there to realize that it's a fast moving technology. But basically to your initial analogy, today is the day and this is the year to go to the store and buy your new iPhone. There's not a perfect time. Today is the perfect time to get started in the new year. Challenge yourself to just, if you do one thing, sign up for ChatGPT 3.5. It's free. Use it to ask it to write you a recipe. And it's a great way to get started for the new year.
Well, thanks, David. We'll put on the calendar 6 months from now, an opportunity to kind of do a halfway through the year check-in and see what Nostra David has gotten right so far and what we're waiting for things to come true from Nostra David's predictions. It'll be really interesting to see, because 6 months in the world of AI and technology investment is probably going to be quite a bit. Speaking of technology and advancement, we have a tool at Missional Marketing called Sermon Spark. If you're a pastor or church leader, someone who writes content for sermons or part of the team that's creating content for sermons, we want to encourage you to check out sermonspark.ai. An AI tool that we put together that can maybe help shorten some of the time of prep that you have as a pastor or church leader. It's not going to write a sermon for you. It's not designed to do that, but it will give you some tools and access to some AI technology that might actually expedite your process and really help you with your creativity as well. And again, if you're new to the podcast and you haven't ever subscribed wherever you're listening, or if you're watching on our YouTube channel, make sure that you do that so that you don't miss any future episodes. We're trying to release an episode every other Friday. And so we don't want you to miss out on the next great content that we have to share with you. David, thanks so much for joining me today. And those of you who are listening in the internet world, thanks for being our guests today on the AI for Churches podcast.